Hey everybody, Shane Presley here to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Find him at 4191 A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. They have all new music happy hour starting Friday, 10% off any purchase. Four Hands beer will be available, and new vinyl coming in from Amy Winehouse, Winona, and The Big Noise, Johnny Cash, Jurassic 5, AC/DC, Stone Temple Pilots, Aerosmith, Lou Reed, and a lot more. So get down there, check out Music Record Shop, follow them online, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey everybody, this is Monk.
This is Nick Adamson of Care Louise Band.
And I'm Matt with the Loft Sessions.
And I'm Shane Presley, and you're listening to
Rock Paper Podcast.
Nailed it.
A podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,
rock
Paper Podcast, y'all.
Alright, this song's called Everyone is Everyone.
That's like, well, we will want to fight you because we don't know you. Well, oh my God, everybody grab a guy because mine is better than yours. Now the gap is getting bigger, water's turning into rivers from the tears and blood of fools. Say, whoa, whoa, whoa. But now we're fighting over color while the people screaming, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're not treated the same. Come on, say it. God, everybody grab a guy because mine is better than yours. Now the gap's getting big, water's turning into rivers from the tears and blood of fools. Say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Still fighting over color while the people screaming, whoa, whoa, whoa. They're not treated the same. Said everyone I know. Say, we're all the same. So beautiful.
Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 176, hanging out with Monk again. Welcome back to the show, man.
Hello.
We got a couple special guests hanging out this evening, Matt and Nick of Off Sessions, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the Cara Louise Band.
Cara Louise Band.
Mr. Mandolin over there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you guys
full house, man.
Doing a little jamming on the couch earlier.
Yeah.
the mandolin on. It sounded real nice, man.
Yeah, Monk's in town. You can't not want to jam with Monk when he's in town.
Yeah.
Gotta hang out with him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
get the job done.
So we had a
rock and roll.
Had a little opening in the schedule, and I threw it out there. And Monk said, "Hey, I'm in town. Let's meet up." And here I am, man. So this is let's go back west. So in December, I saw you over in Belleville, right?
Right, man.
The pictures with Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals.
Yes, sir.
And that was my pretty sure they had.
It was a memorial show for our fallen musician friends who have passed, and we do that. They do that annually, and so I've been a part of it for I think two years now or something, 3 years.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's always my favorite show of the year, and it just so happened to fall on the day before I left, so
right.
It was perfect this time. But yeah, you know, I remember seeing you. We had a really good talk.
Yeah, no, it was a good party and a good good turnout. That place was packed out, and
it was
my
crazy.
First Beautiful. Time over to Pitchers. And
yeah, welcome. That was my hometown.
Yeah,
Illinois. Yeah,
And Parlor Nights were there.
Yeah,
that was kind of like which I've been talking to Gavin a lot, and we're trying to get something going, get him on the show.
Awesome.
In his new project. And,
yeah, man. I mean, all those East Side cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those East Side cats I grew up with, and we went to the same high school and played for years before we ever came to St. Louis side of this of everything. So, yeah, Gavin, anything he does is going to be great.
Yeah. So that was episode 123. If you missed that one, go back, check it out.
Rewind.
Rock Paper Podcast, iTunes, and Stitcher, any of those.
Over and over.
Is that a Wayne's World reference?
Yeah, it is a Wayne's World reference,
Wayne's
man.
Reference.
I got to.
Yeah.
I'm in Delaware.
This
Why am I in Delaware?
Yeah. Hey, I got a gun. Let's go to a Broadway show.
I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So you mentioned that was your going away party. Kind of doubled as your going away party.
Yeah, to, I don't know.
To Portland, and
it worked.
So how are things in Portland so far?
Great, crazy because I haven't had a car, so I've been walking transit everywhere.
Yeah,
that's new in my life. But freaking amazing. You know, there's I'm grateful to go out there and have a really good set of friends that I've already. You know, dug their roots in deep in the Portland area, not just in music, but just, you know, having a lot of friends and whatnot. So it was kind of just, you know, I got there and it was just this whole group of people waiting for me that have heard about me already through my friends. And it was just kind of, let's get going. Let's jump on shows and open mics and just have fun with it. So that's where we're at right now.
Sure.
Just still kind of morphing into something, you know, but it's been very awesome.
Yeah. I know you've only... been there
about a month or so, month and 2 weeks.
But how do you feel, like, comparison wise St. Louis music scene versus
I can't really say,
you know,
it's too early to say. I mean, right now obviously I'm still St. Louis.
Sure.
And I will be, I think, for a very long time. Because St. Louis is just very diverse, and I've been to a lot of different cities, you know, and I've not seen that, you know, unless it was a whole bunch of bands coming in from different cities at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, St. Louis has it good as far as the diversity goes, I think.
Yeah, man. I that's one thing I hear a lot from people, like when they look at what I've done with my show already, like they'll look at the guests and stuff and the fact that there's one extreme to the other, you know, and everybody in between. There's no,
mm-hmm.
you know, I it's not all rock or rap or whatever. There's so many people. And that's what's beautiful about our St. Louis music scene is the diversity that you're talking about. Like having, you know, we have a nice, you know, rock scene. We have a nice folk thing going on. We have some funk bands. We got, you know, everybody's represented in town. And it's,
yeah, everybody has their place, and
yeah,
it's all good. Yeah.
So many venues. I can't even, you know, I've probably been floating around St. Louis, you know, for a while now. And now it's just venues right. all over the place.
And I think there's still opening more. There's another one being opened on Del Mar, I think.
Turning over, you know.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, since you say that too, let's so they are opening. They made the announcement opening Del Mar Hall mm-hmm. right next to the pageant and right. the old Big Shark bicycles there. I was excited. I'm another venue, another opportunity to see more live music is good news to me. But I did see some musicians in town that were kind of like said something along, you know, like, you know, we needed like another hole in the head or something like that, another venue. And I was like, that doesn't seem.
I think a lot of that goes to the fact that there might be too many, let's say like 200 to 300 person venues.
Yeah.
And so I think that it gets pretty competitive on that level.
Yeah.
I don't know how big. I didn't really look into that too much.
Del Mar Hall is supposed to look around about 800, they say.
800?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it gets, after like a 300 person venue, it gets kind of
sure.
competitive for nights.
Yeah.
You know, because only so many people. So that gets difficult. I can see where.
Yeah.
You know, it's the law of averages, I think, on venues.
I think it's going to be just fine.
Yeah,
I'm not. I've seen it happen in many other cities. It's just, you know,
yeah.
I'm excited about it.
They were, I think, in the Post, you know, whatever the article I read that was saying now, they were looking for the idea behind this new venue on Del Mar. Joe Edwards and his partner are opening it, and they own Blueberry Hill and the pageant, and so it would be nice to have somebody go from Blueberry Hill to Del Mar Hall and then to the pageant and watching them grow as an artist and
right.
and stuff. So,
natural.
I don't know. I think it's cool. I'm excited. Like I said, as a fan, I think it's just another great opportunity.
More outlets in St. Louis, the better, man. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way I see it.
Still putting focus on the music here. It's mm-hmm. saying something. That's,
yeah.
That's all I care about is the health of the overall music that's coming out.
Sure. And that's the way I looked at it. I was like, it should be a giant compliment to the St. Louis music scene.
Yeah,
I
mean,
right.
That people want to continue to open up more clubs in our town and give, you know, an opportunity for people, you know. I mean, we've had more, you know, we know there's been plenty of bad news about our music, you know, around our town, like all the thefts and things that were happening, but
right.
the people want to open up, you know, that there's a demand for another club to open up to
mm-hmm.
bring national and local and regional acts into town and stuff, so I don't know, I think it's great, I'm excited.
Exciting times,
yeah.
for sure.
But yeah, I was going to ask, since also pretty recently and topical, but did you guys watch Super Bowl over the weekend?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
No, I was in studio playing some, playing jamming, yeah.
Right.
But I did keep score. I would check Google every once in a game,
yeah.
you know.
Just
to see when it was over. Show.
Yeah.
I wasn't tuned into the game per se.
Yeah. Well, the game was, like, I mean, if you're a defensive fan, it was great, which I am. Like, I mean, there was, but if you're worried about points and offense, like, there wasn't a whole lot happening there. So, but yeah, so the gameplay itself was a little slow. And the halftime show, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Like, I kind of liked a little bit of the mashup stuff they were doing and I didn't get all worked up like some people I read on social media with all the Beyonce stuff and things, but I thought it was fun, and I enjoy Bruno Mars. I think he's an incredible entertainer.
I really do like Bruno Mars when I see him perform.
Yeah,
as far as pop artists.
Yeah, I love the choreography
say.
Between him and his band and stuff, like all dance.
Anytime
and
I hear somebody say the halftime show sounded horrible, I just don't think they understand how much it takes to put that big of a stage together
sure.
that fast in a stadium.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? And just all the variables that come along with that, you know, it's like.
That was kind of like
they
when.
They did pretty well for what time they got working with.
It's kind of like when Bruno did it before and Chili Peppers jumped on stage with him, and everybody complained that Chili Peppers were like, weren't plugged in and that they were just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
strumming along or whatever. And it was like, this is the, I mean, granted, it's a show, but it's for entertainment factor first. Like, they don't,
yeah.
they can't sound check everybody's guitars and stuff in that matter of time and all, you know, that kind of thing. So,
They have wireless packs. I saw them.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people were complaining about, was that they had a little too much of the actual singing mixed with the backing tracks.
Yeah.
That they were using, you know, well, not backing tracks, but what were supposed to be the main tracks. You know, and they're singing with it, and that's what I kept hearing from people was, I could hear them, like, it was like clashing, kind of, you know, because you obviously can't hear yourself in there.
Right.
So.
Yeah, this year is with Coldplay. Yeah, there was definitely a little, like, it probably sounded great in the arena or the stadium, but on the TV it didn't quite come through as perfectly, you know, sound-wise, but.
And that's the challenge every year.
Sure, yeah. But it was still entertaining. I enjoyed it. I liked. I thought it was pretty well done for overall. Super Bowl commercials were pretty big letdown though this year. I
would say this is the first year that I can remember that I actually just didn't care about any of the commercials that I saw. Nothing grabbed me like the previous years. You know what I mean? You know, it seems like Super Bowl time becomes an art form for commercials. You
sure.
know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Although,
traditionally,
the Crouppen dude calling out Stan.
Oh, yeah, Terry Crouppen.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, the whole nation didn't get to see that, only mostly the Midwest.
It was just a regional one, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that he put his own money up to do that, like, I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty huge. You know, it's nice that he's got support for the city and stuff, but but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a bummer, the whole Rams leaving thing. But
obviously there was a big build up to that, but I didn't think that was going to happen. And
yeah.
And then I move away, and then fucking Bowie dies, the Rams leave. And I'm like, what is going on with the world?
Yeah,
it's a lot to take in after you move to a new city.
I know. I'm like, no.
It's like all the things you knew.
Everything I knew
as soon as you moved away
was gone. Now.
The one commercial that did kind of strike me, I thought was, I laughed probably the most at, was the Super Bowl Babies one was Seal. And they were all up there singing. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did see that, yes.
That one made me laugh.
Seal the singer?
Yeah.
He was back for the first time. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah,
Kiss from Rose,
and that's what they were mocking. Yeah. It was like not mocking, but they were definitely doing an offshoot of Kiss from a Rose, but it was all Super Bowl Baby.
It was the premise of the joke was about that they kind of were doing like snippet parts throughout the whole game,
mm-hmm.
and then like towards the end of the game they did like the long version of the commercial, and. The thing was about like that after each Super Bowl victory or whatever in that town, births jump up like so many percentage or whatever it was. So like, you know, within 9 months I see a spike in birth. And so they were saying it, like, so the joke was all the parents are like hooking up after Super Bowl parties when they won and stuff. And so there was like, they just kept showing the babies like wearing like their team jerseys for that town. And then at the end, like I said, when they do the full version, they had like all the babies and they come out like in the, or, you know, some of them are much older. Like, they had, like, the, you know, Steelers from the 70s. Like, all those babies that were born that year and stuff like that. And they had, like, this big choir going on. And then Seal comes out and they're singing, like, this kind of parody version of Kiss from a Rose. And
mm-hmm.
and it was really, like I said, it was probably my favorite of the night. Like, some of them, I didn't care for the puppy baby monkey one or whatever.
Yeah, it was okay.
That one, I mean, that's the one people are talking about. I guess that's part of it. You get people talking, but it was weird. It was.
What did you think of the Doritos commercial with the baby sliding out of the mother at the very end chip?
I enjoyed it. I laughed at that one too. But like, I guess my brother was saying he saw that one the other day. So I guess that wasn't a true. Maybe not a
yeah,
true
it totally Super Bowl. It totally takes away a lot of value if you get them leaked online before you see them during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
you know,
Doritos usually pretty solid with their commercials and stuff. And I was one I was kind of surprised was there wasn't a lot of Budweiser. There was like one. Usually they got like some funny ones, and then they got the Clydesdale or Puppy or what, you know.
Like some kind of serious grab your heart strings type moment.
That's the Budweiser one.
Yeah.
They always try to get.
Yeah, I think this year did they only go for the heartstrings or did they do a comedy one?
It was the one I remember seeing. It was like just a bunch of like, you know, like bold print, like, and it was like, you know, Budweiser been, you know, been doing it since 18 whatever, and you know, it's kind of, it was like all this kind of fat kind of stuff,
more like a heritage type thing.
Yeah, you know? So it wasn't really like a
trip. So it even a heartstrings one then, yeah. or a comedy one. They went completely.
You know us, we've been around.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. You know us, we're in bed.
We're not gonna do this again. We're just hello
beer.
Goodbye.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
he'll buy us anyway. We're Budweiser.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
drink our beer.
That was another part that I liked.
You know, all the other ones are better, but please.
Was at the end of the game when Peyton said he's going to go drink a bunch of Budweiser. Oh. And there, I guess there was a little...
Oh, like so that's Disney what happened
World,
right there.
Yeah. Disney World.
That's what happened. They spent all their money on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was waiting.
If you win, we'll give you $1 million to say that drinks are on the MVP, whoever it is.
Yeah.
If not, at least people still know we're here.
Right.
I'm surprised he didn't say he's going to go eat a bunch of Papa John's, you know. But,
That would have been amazing. Yeah. What a perfect send-off.
You need Papa John's.
Right. Yeah. Just all of a sudden, he's there just like, hey, guys. Just thought I'd tell you I'm about to eat a shitload of Papa John's. Here's a piece for everybody.
Yeah.
Have an Oprah moment. It's under your chairs.
Yeah.
In celebration with the pizza party.
We replaced the confetti with pizza slices.
You get a pizza. You get a pizza.
Yes.
Yeah, that would, you know, that's my dream, man. That's pizza my pizza, party? Man.
Pizza slices instead of confetti?
We should probably address, too, this is National Pizza Day today.
It is.
Recording what? This, man.
Yeah. So,
I have a story, actually. So on my way back from Portland just a couple days ago, the night before I had some pizza. It was Chicago-style pizza. I'm not going to say the place because I don't want to do that. But yeah, Chicago-style pizza. People that are listening can't see me doing the quotation. But
air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes. But yeah, so I had it, and I took 2 bites of each pizza that I bought. And or each slice that I bought, and then I woke up 3 hours later to go to the airport, and I was sick as a dog, man. And on the way there, I was like, man, I really feel like I'm gonna, you know, hurl. You know, I almost busted out my disc. Yeah, I almost busted out the little cup and everything, and Queen and everything. You know, it was rocking Queen the whole time there, and. And so we get there, and we're turning in the rental car, and I got to go to the bathroom. I'm just like, man, I got to poop. You know, really bad. And so I go in there and poop, and I just start throwing up everywhere, right? And I'm just like, I start to the left of me, right? And so I'm just like, okay, so I can't get myself because I can't change. All my stuff is checked, or, you know, my bags are gone. And so I'm just like puking. Start to the left of me, and it's just like, and I had just left this little pathway so I could just stand up, you know, put all my stuff back on, and then walk out. And I did, you know, I didn't have time to clean that shit. I couldn't. I had a flight to catch. So which
airport cleaning crew do you owe an apology to?
I'm sorry, PDX Airport, but that was not me.
I've been there before.
In the rent-a-car terminal, but. The section, not terminal. But anyway. So, yeah. And then I boarded the flight and was totally fine for the rest of the day. But that was the most messed up time. I've been in a lot of airports and a lot of that. But this was probably the most messed up experience.
That reminds me. So, I listen to a lot of comedy. And one bit always comes to mind when I think of stuff like that. And when people say they got the flu and stuff, I think of there's a Jay Mohr bit. When he's talking about, like, he's like, I just lost 10 pounds on a new diet called the flu. and then he's, like, talking about, like, you know, he goes to, you go to your friend's house, and are you saying, you know, he's like, you ever, like, you sit down to poop, and then you got to puke, so you get up and you try to puke in the toilet, and you accidentally shit all over the wall. And he's like, then you got to get out of there because it's not your house and all this stuff.
Damn. Dude, you know what? Like, I used to have to go check on my great-grandma with my mom and stuff. She's very old. I'm sorry for any family members going to listen to this, but I got to tell this story. You know, we could walk in. We're like, where is she? You know? And So she comes out of like the darkness, all creepy like. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? And so I go into her bathroom because I had to go to the bathroom, I guess. And I turn on the light and there's poop on the walls everywhere. I'm like, what happened? And it couldn't even like go. You know, I just like exited. I walked right back out backwards, you know, shut the light off with like the tip of my finger. And then just closed the door and was like, Mom. Mom, we gotta go. It's poop everywhere. Oh, man. It's poop everywhere. I feel like I'm making this like a rock, paper, poop cast, but...
Hey, yeah, man. What?
Anyway.
You never know where it's gonna go.
I just drank some coffee, so...
Yeah, there you go.
I signed up.
I'm just letting you in on what's about to happen. You know? You're gonna walk into that bathroom over there, it's gonna be... Everywhere on the walls.
I'm going to relive it. Oh, no.
Man. Nick drank coffee.
Happens. Well, let's refocus this thing before the wheels fall off again. But you were up in Portland, and you are working on new music, right?
I'm trying. No, I am. Yeah.
We
set up a studio in our basement, and I live with in a house with my roommates. And Stubbs set up a nice little analog to digital studio, and we're having fun with it.
Yeah. I just saw you guys did another Tiny Desk entry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second one.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, it was neat. We kept it really simple this year. Last year, I did the video with Alex White and had these cuts and beautiful Alex White work that he always does. And this year, I just wanted to make it more for the music and keep the video really crappy. So the wheels fell off again.
Yeah.
No.
So you're doing more with like a full band, right? I saw you.
Yeah, man, and those are all my good buddies from, you know, years ago. They're from St. Louis as well, and they just moved out about 3.5 years ago. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. When I saw you at that Pitchers show, you had you playing as a 3-piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Artie and Ben. Yeah. Yeah, and that's my St. Louis crew.
Yeah.
I like to have a band in every city, you know, because you never know where you're gonna be.
Right.
Sometimes I could be in Saskatchewan. So I just
Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Regina, Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Tuscaloosa.
How is the band you have in Oregon, Portland?
Great, man. They're really on it. It's been a while since I've really jammed. I'm sorry for everybody else that jams with me, but with really on musicians, I don't have to think about anything. I could just really play. And as far as the Monk stuff goes, it's like they already get exactly where I'm going with it all.
This plug-in.
Right, yeah. My drummer, he's like, I guess you could call him an environmental activist out there. He works for an organization called the Columbia River Keepers.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, he goes around and tells people, informs people about, you know, what the government and everybody's trying to do to pollute the rivers and and stuff, and you know, raises money to fight the cause, and he's raised a lot of money, and so he's already on board with, like, you know, those types of songs I have, you know, the I guess you could call it,
yeah, just vibing on it,
right? And yeah, man, it's just everybody gets it, so it's really easy and cool, and yeah,
you're
really excited to see what's about to happen.
Yeah,
with that.
It sounds like it's a seed that's been planted. The dynamic's probably going to be great.
Yeah.
So you said you don't have any release dates or anything, but you might be putting out an EP.
Yeah, I'm working on a second acoustic EP. It's going to be just kind of like a second installment of Headlines, but I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. I've been really indecisive lately, just because
maybe more Headlines or
it's good. Headlines part two, y'all. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, as far as that concept, it never runs out of things to say.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
It's even more messed up than when I wrote the first half of Headlines. So. Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely more songs like that, and it's way better, I think, personally, than the first one. I really think so. Like, I'm excited for people to hear. If you liked what I just released last year, you'll really like this next one, is all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't have Headlines, go to, Monk?
Monk.us. M-O-N-K-H dot US.
Grab yourself a copy of that. Some really good stuff on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this might be a good time to, if you wanted to play one live.
Oh, yeah.
Give a little taste of what the new stuff.
You should see it. He has this really great Mitchell guitar here.
It's a Purdy one.
It's a Purdy one.
Swampwood.
Swampwood, yeah.
Yeah, swamp ash.
It's nice.
not to be confused with swamp ass.
Not to be confused with swamp ass, which I have at the moment. People are going to be like, "This guy's a lot about poop."
All about poop.
What's wrong with him?
So much poop.
That's what we're going to title this one. Just so much poop.
I'm going to play my new song "Low." We're going to stick to the new things, and yeah, this is the one I did the NPR with. With my band out there. It's never mind. It's called Love. Wake up, did you hear the news? The soda salt out for some oil in the spoon. But don't stop till they get it all. Watch the world fall. Yeah. Down the street you could see the scene where they shot the boy down cause they thought he was a thief. Well, no justice, so there'll be no peace. No justice, so there'll be no peace. You're never gonna change if you don't believe. You're never gonna change the world if you can't see. But these are bad times.
Yeah. You got that, man.
There, so. Real good. Yeah, man, that was fun.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for doing that. So you'll be in town for a while, and you'll have a show where people can come hear that song.
Yeah, and many others. I'll be playing for at least 2 hours up at the Boxing Turtle Saloon in Belleville off Dutch Hollow Road. Oh, man, I almost said January again. Saturday, February 20th, yeah. Actually, around 7 p.m. Come out there. It's going to be a really awesome time. My really good friend, Glenn Cole, actually just opened up the bar. Once again, it's called Boxing Turtle Saloon. I've seen nothing but great things come out of that place. And so come down. It'll be a really awesome time, really good beer.
So just an evening with Monk then, right?
Yeah, evening with Monk so far. That's what it is. You know, if anybody wants to come and jam with me, I'm totally open for it, too.
All right. Yeah, that sounds
Nick,
cool.
Mandolin.
Yeah, man.
We'll see.
Maybe I'll get sexy.
Come to the east side.
I'll be in the studio the next day. Why not?
Yeah,
warm
man.
Up, you know?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just that little jamming you guys were doing there. It sounded real good. It'd be cool to see you guys.
Determined to learn headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Ready for that.
Yeah, I've been here. Actually, I've been here for like 4 days, and 2 days out of those four, I've been here at the Artist Loft with these guys and jamming, and we're doing a couple of things that's on the down low right now. And, you know, might surface sooner or later, but
you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Never know. It's the beauty of all this.
Well, you did one. Well, I guess last year did a session.
Yeah, I did a law session last year after the release of my headlines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be that was really cool.
Yeah, it was like clean cut.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. Good times.
It was a fun night.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
I don't know. I didn't, I guess we can go ahead and say, but you guys, we're on the schedule for your own podcast, talking all about Loft Sessions coming up here soon, so.
Yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to that.
Not that we're trying to you know, avoid, but just save some of our goodies for your own show.
Oh, sure,
too.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, but we can divulge a little if you want to.
I'm a slave to the creative process.
Yeah,
I can't get away from it. Video, music.
Yeah.
If there's a creative process involved, I just
totally
enamored by it all.
No, what the Law Sessions have done in the past just year alone, I think, has been pretty awesome. You know, it's undeniable if you just have your eyes open, I think. And same with you. You know, you guys are just freaking soaring out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
Well, it's really awesome. It's really cool for the St. Louis scene.
Yeah, I agree. I love what you guys with Loft Sessions is doing for St. Louis music, and you know, shining a light on all my favorites. So it's cool to you know, to see them on there, and then even some of them, you know, you guys have introduced me to new people, and then I'm like, you know, I'll see them jam on there, and I'm like, well, you know, I want to go sit down and talk to them now and try to get them on my show and try to get, you know, a little more in-depth, you know, conversation.
Absolutely. So. It's nice to interact on a show with someone else who has kind of a similar a goal. You know, we're trying to put people in the spotlight, give them a platform to be noticed and seen, and you know, you do a killer job of that, and we're doing our damnedest to match that. So.
Yeah. I think it takes all, man. Like you know, from the, you know, the artist to the visuals with the between, you know, live videos to, you know, even I know, like, Last in the American League did a nice vinyl collection and CD also, but they paired it up everything with all physical art, various forms of, you know, charcoal drawings or what, you know, paintings
nice.
Or various
sure.
things,
like,
and they put it in a nice book to pair it up with the original music. So I think, you know, all sorts of art, we all have to work together to, you know, support each other and stuff. And
absolutely.
So. I'm excited to be a part of this St. Louis music scene.
Man, it's
absolutely
so much
Yeah. Exciting. Yeah. And lots of fun things are coming up too. Like you got lo-fi coming up soon and you know, the other fun stuff.
Well, you know, there's like really no industry, you know, quote unquote, doing the quote things. But it just means you can do whatever you want. So sometimes you just get, you know, like Monk sitting here, you get this like well balanced type of creative, you know, stuff coming out of the scene, and you just, no one saw it coming because everyone was focused on industry, this or industry, but we're just kind of floating around St. Louis doing whatever we want. So, I mean, that's what I love about this music scene.
Well, and we're such a hotbed for talent, too. You know what I mean? I mean,
you can incubate it here.
You really can, and there is no such thing as too much good music, so really no one's up against anybody else. It's really just if everybody, you know, kind of comes together and helps push everybody, there ain't no telling where we could be.
Yeah.
Well, we would be creating our own little industry here.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much you guys have seen it, but I've been, you know, between doing this show and going to concerts and all this, and I've got a, you know, one of my favorite parts of doing my show is developing these friendships. Like out of my show, I've met so many cool people, and those people, you know, a year ago I didn't know. Now we're all hanging out and we're buddies and stuff, and that's for me, that's the coolest part, just to, you know, develop that bond. And then so I'm going out to shows now, I'm hanging with these people, and you know, just seeing like the growth inside the community where more and more people are, you know, same kind of thing along with me, not meeting more people are meeting people through my show. I've heard people like, you know, I would have probably never heard of them until you introduced me through, you know.
Sure. And likewise, I've heard plenty of bands that, you know, you've had people on your show where I'm like, oh, well, shit, let me go check these guys out and see what they're about. Maybe we'd like to have them on a law session.
Right. But it's cool to see that, you know, between all that, you know, and especially through social media and stuff, where we can all start sort of keeping eyes on each other and engage. You know, just it's a lot of fun. It's exciting times to be involved in St. Louis music
really
right now.
It really is.
You've seen some bands take off, and you're just like, go. Yeah. Just go. Don't even look back. Keep moving.
That's pretty much my mentality that I apply to this show. And a lot of people, like, think it's just nuts. I've been doing, like, 3 episodes a week since June of last year. And just putting out a lot of content. But I met up, and I kind of already had a similar, you know, mentality, but I met up with Devin Allman a while back, and sat with him on the show, and we talked. And I was actually, I picked him up at the hotel, drove him to the venue, and then I took him back to the hotel after the show. And so we got a lot of one-on-one, just me and him sitting in my car and talking, and he was telling me about when he was getting going as a solo artist after, you know, stepping out of Honey Tribe, that he called up Warren Haynes' wife. And I forget her name, but she's like Warren's manager and all this stuff. And he's like, hey, look, I'm going to hit the road as a solo artist. What do you have any advice for, for somebody like me? And she's like, just don't slow down, because as soon as you stop, somebody else is going to pass you up. And I've had, so like that really, like I said, hearing him say that and coming from her too, and like just, it really kind of drove the message home. Like, I need to keep this pace up, otherwise, you know, the next person's coming up behind me. So
absolutely. Just lose ground.
So,
that's totally the truth.
Yeah, we're actually playing, I mean, a Kelly Louise show with a band called Erica Blinn band, and Devin produced her album. Yeah, and we're playing the late set at Manja this Saturday. Awesome. Just thought of it.
Speaking of Cara Louise band,
how many people know where you can end up Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, Manja's a cool place too, by the way. Speaking of Cara Louise band, you guys are going to the studio? In the studio?
We're in the process of doing our new EP.
Yeah.
It's probably about all I can really talk about it, but it's exciting. This is, like you said, it's exciting times even for our band.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
I think Adam said it the other day. He goes, it takes 2 days to knock it down, 2 years to write the stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So We have a weird state. We just go in, just record. We did that the first one. It seems like we're doing that this one. We'll see what happens.
It's the way to do it, man.
Zach Gibbons is great.
That's the man.
Straight out of his town, too.
He's East Side Cat, too. Going in for a long time.
Well, I know a guy with a podcast if you ever want to come back on and promote the release.
We'll bring Kara. Kara's a hoot. She's so fun.
Yeah, we... And she's another one. Like, you know, we just recently met Oyster Bar. We said hey and But I haven't met Kara yet in person. But I think we're now Facebook friends. But she's another one. Like, just, you know, diving into the scene. Like, I've been hearing, I hear her name and seeing her at all the different shows I frequent and stuff. I've seen her name on coming up at the different venues and things. So
her lyrics, I mean.
Yeah, very awesome.
Her writing is, every time she writes a new song, it just, man, touches you in a different, you know, there's a whole different take on every song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear some new tunes and get to meet her officially.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, when, I mean, do you have any idea, like, expected, like, summer or something, or fall, or?
The EP?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I haven't even gone in and done my tracks yet. Right. But, you know, so.
Hopefully soon.
I mean, the songs are all written.
Yeah.
We've been playing them on and off for about 6 months now. So, kind of sneaking them in the set, you know,
right.
One of those.
Gauge reaction.
Yeah, just like, okay. Didn't know we just learned that one last week.
So, that's cool.
Those are fun.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you guys about it, because I thought it was funny, but, like, they, saw on... online today that there was, like, I guess in Chicago they're opening a new restaurant with, like, Saved by the Bell themed. Like, it's gonna have, like, I don't know if it's gonna be like the Max or if it's just gonna be, but
it better be the Max if you're gonna do a Saved by the Bell themed restaurant.
Yeah. But it's like a diner centered around Saved by the Bell.
Your chair backwards.
Yeah.
Sitting in chair wrong.
At random variations, you'll have girls come in 3-piece, like, doing routines and singing to you.
Right.
It'll be great.
Mom jeans.
Zach Attack will premiere.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
Where's that going to be at?
In Chicago.
It's going to be in Chicago?
Yeah. But I...
put that on the list.
I just... between that and, like... They're Fuller House is coming to Netflix here soon.
Mm-hmm. Jesse the Ripper's Returns.
Yeah. But just, like, it's just kind of crazy, like, how much of, like, you know, I mean, it's been going on with 80s forever, you know, recycling 80s culture back. But now 90s culture's getting recycled back into it a lot. I saw during the Super Bowl a commercial for there's a Rush Hour TV show. Was coming up or something, you know. It was like some guy that, like, looks like he's doing or sounds like he's doing a Chris Tucker impression, you know, kind of thing. I don't know how well that's gonna go, but it's just, like, it's kind of weird how
that should be interesting.
How many things are getting recycled back?
I just saw the Bad Boys 3 is for sure happening now.
Oh yeah,
wow.
Isn't that crazy? Bad Boys 3 after all these years.
I was just watching. They waited a long time for 1 and 2 though.
Yeah,
because one came out in, like, early 90s or something like that. And
no,
two came out
the late 90s, I would say, anyway.
Sure, there was, like, at least, like, probably felt like 10 years or something between the two.
Probably so, yeah. The car is definitely, the budget definitely got upgraded.
I was just watching Bad Boys 2 the other day.
I quote Bad Boys 2, like,
daily. We ride together, we die together?
Who's your
ride or die partner, Shane?
I don't know.
Every time I see a fish, I'm like, that's a nice fish.
Yeah.
That's a nice fucking fish.
That's a nice fucking fish. That's big fucking eyes.
Yeah,
nice fucking fish.
That's the line I... Because I have a angel fish with, you know, big...
Yeah.
Big fucking eyes.
That's why I'm like, nice fish, but big fucking eyes. You know, that's one of the best scenes. Anyways, all, like, on ecstasy and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
Tripping and having a... That's a great movie. Great... both wanting to. Like I, so I'm excited. Right. Three will be fun. Should be fun.
It should be.
I saw they they're doing a new Independence Day, but with no Will Smith.
Yeah, they killed his character off. Yeah, that's messed up.
So I don't know how well that's. I mean, that's.
Will I heard it's because he was already filming another movie and just couldn't work out. But still, how do you kill off Will Smith from Independence Day?
Yeah.
I mean, he saved the day.
Right.
Oh,
Independence.
We were talking about Budweiser commercials.
My cats watch all this stuff. my cats are over there just watching AMC all day.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is.
It's like meow. You're like,
he likes Sylvester Stallone movies.
Right on.
Gallagher, my big 25-pound cat, just sitting there like watching the Rocky series. Like he likes
in like a van captain's chair,
very
mounted
captivated
to like a
by
rolling
Sylvester Stallone. Apparently.
Oh my god. I have to meet this cat now.
Yeah.
He's over there watching AMC, I swear. You watch the AMC.
We're going to make a pile of coffee here in a few minutes, and you will see him there just watching
AMC. Man, the more I learn about you, the more I like you, Nick. He's going to say that.
I try to culture my cats. So.
There you go.
I forgot about the Budweiser Super Bowl commercial where with Amy... And Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Amy Schumer. And then Ronda Rousey is the protection.
And then they have, but like, there's a part where Seth's saying something and he basically makes that quote from Independence Day and she's like, are you just quoting Independence Day now? He's like, yeah. And like, you know, so that's what maybe triggered that memory. Like, but I don't know. That one was all right. It was kind of funny, like the whole idea that as the presidential party and it's the Budweiser party. But, I mean, I don't know. That first Independence Day is a classic.
Oh, super classic. I liked that movie so much that I owned the orchestral soundtrack as a kid.
You freaking had to.
I think my first tape I ever got was, what was it? Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
The soundtrack?
The soundtrack.
What was your first tape or CD?
Very first tape or CD?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I have a strong memory of having the rock set Greatest Hits on tape. Nice. And I used to like that song. Well, I still like it. I hear it on 90s on 9 quite a bit. They don't play the one I like as much as they should. They play all the other rock set songs. But the one I like is She's Got the Look. And... anyway,
solid track.
Yeah.
Can you give me a few bars of She's Got the Look?
I can pull it up on YouTube for you.
Yeah,
sound a lot better that way.
What was your first, Monk?
I actually posted a status about this the other day. First one, this is funny. I had like this this ripped $5 bill, and my brother, I guess, needed it for some reason. So he was like, can I have that $5? I'll give you this CD. You know, and it was Rage Against the Machine, self-titled, you know, with the self-immolation monk on the front of it. And, so I plugged that in and started jumping on top of my bed up and down. And that's when, you know,
that's much cooler
I became
than
a monk.
Yeah, mine's awful. Mine is, unfortunately, I got two at the same time, which I'm still, I'm proud of it, but it's not as cool. Yeah. It definitely doesn't give me the cool points that you get, but mine was... TLC, Crazy Sexy Cool,
dude, that was
Batman Forever
counts?
Soundtrack,
dude, yes,
taped together for Christmas with my Cost boombox.
Right on.
The
yeah,
go.
I gotta say, I got Macy Gray for Easter.
Oh, that's a good one.
For in my Easter basket, and then everybody in my around my town, I don't know about you guys, but had to have the Space Jam soundtrack.
Oh man, that's classic.
I still sing that.
Basketball Jones,
come on, I got
the basketball Jones.
Welcome to the gym.
Yeah. Exactly.
We are now taking over your radio.
Yes. It's time to slam now. Space Jam.
It was the best. It was the greatest. It was the
lightning strikes. Lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin above the rim.
Yes.
Outstanding.
Shane, I just got such a new respect for you based on just those four lines.
There you go.
We're
man.
All coming together in the podcast.
Space Jam gets me fired up, man.
Yeah. Apparently, gets us all fired up. You want to get the, us four in this room fired up? You mentioned Space Jam. We're
right.
on that.
Exactly.
Shit.
Everybody's jumping up and dancing.
And,
all
right.
Even Bill Murray was in that movie. You can't not like that movie.
Man, Bill Murray made that movie, but Oh, another thing. Whatever happened to your... You said you made a status about people asking me questions.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure, we can get to that.
What? I'm very curious. Down to answer all these questions.
Yeah. Before we shift gears, there was one other thing I was thinking of. CDs and stuff. I do have a memory also of somebody, like, I think I must have heard it from my cousin or something, and cruising around in his car. And I really liked Eazy-E, and I can remember going to the flea market, like, and buying straight off the streets of motherfucking Compton.
Yeah.
From like some guy at the flea market for, you know, whatever, $5 or something like that. And like, you know, owning that CD and way before I probably should have ever been listening to that, but it was I do, you know, that memory's in there too. So that one, I try to take my street cred up a little bit, you know. So
you definitely got a notch or two up for that.
Better off than I am at this point.
Rolling down the street in his 6-foot.
Yeah. I bashed his head in with my Louisville Slugger.
Did you say what your first CD was?
First CD was actually like, it was like a boombox thing. I got Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh man, hell yeah!
Was it Cracked Rearview Mirror?
It's the one with like Let Her Cry.
Yeah.
Let Her Cry. It's 90s vocals or something else.
Yeah, man.
It was pretty cool. I look back on it too. I used to think, that's kind of lame. And I listen to CD, and I'm like, it's still pretty good.
No, yeah.
I like it.
Songwriting.
Little stir.
They killed it when they first came out, man. They're
and
right.
Now, dude, he's killing it now in the country scene.
Yeah,
it's
he
crazy.
Is, actually.
He's like, cool. You know what? I'm switching gears, and I don't care what any of you think.
They're a little bit more country, but I mean, for the most part, you look at what...
It's the same.
Yeah, it's yeah. All...
Oh, totally.
They're all the same songs. Right. It's just a little bit more, you know, like...
Depends on what producer remixes the track.
Yeah. Right. A little more steel guitar stuff, you know, that kind of get a little more country twang to some of it. But, like, for the most part, it's still... now I blinked on his name. Darius Rucker.
I was just trying to think of it.
Those pedal steels are, I think they make the most beautiful noise.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they do.
Most beautiful sounds, I should say.
There was a great I Love the 90s quote from Darius where he was talking about, like, you know, Hootie was at its height and everybody was just screaming, you know, like, Hootie! And he was like, you know, hey, you know, my name's Darius, you know, I'm not Hootie, you know, I'm not... And
this, at no point was my even nickname Hootie. It's right. The name of our band.
And so he's like, the punchline to it, what made me laugh so hard, is like, because this is before the country started taking off, which I don't know if you guys know, but he did like R&B stuff. There's a couple, like he has like at least one album, like it's pretty straightforward R&B before he went to the country route. But, you know, his career kind of took a dive for a while after Hootie split up. And then he's like, now I just wish somebody would call me Hootie.
Yeah.
And, so I thought that was because, you know, he was doing Burger King commercials.
He stooped to Boys to Men level.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, that was just classic I Love the 90s moments.
He's a relentless tour. He tours a lot.
Sure.
Too, so
yeah.
He's just
that's where it's at.
Musician all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, let's. Threw up a picture of Monk on Facebook and got some questions for him. So here we go. Here's some fan-submitted questions. Lindsay asked,
oh God,
how do you stay so thin? What's your diet plan look like?
Drugs. No. Yeah, man. It's my life.
Walking all over Portland, apparently, huh?
Yeah, walking all over Portland. Yep. All the bread and chicken and... I don't know what... Portland is the culinary capital of America, so that's not a good excuse.
Yeah.
If I was walking, I'd be eating. I stay skinny because I'm awesome. Let's put it that way.
Yeah?
I'm sorry. Next question.
Metabolism.
Yeah.
He eats healthy. He's like...
I just brought over an organic energy drink.
He's pretty healthy.
My yerb, man. Gotta have the yerb.
And a bottle of sriracha.
That's my bottle of sriracha. So much that stays on the coffee table.
Just drinking the sauce.
Yeah, sometimes I take a shot of it. Wakes me up in the morning with coffee.
We actually have the same thing in my house in Portland. Just living room table, there's a bottle of Syrah. Same thing. So the other night when I was here, I was like, that's funny. Like, that's really, really hilarious.
As much as things change, they stay the same.
Right, exactly.
Blake asks, what strings does that man use?
That man uses...
That man being you.
Depending on the guitar, my acoustics, I use... And you know what? Don't slam me for this. But I use D'Addario Phosphor Bronze cheapos, man. And but
balling on a budget, right?
I don't know. Yeah, just
right.
You know, just well, dumb stuff.
Personally, you know, I'll be real with everybody. Is that, and you know, I don't have too much knowledge as far as that side of things goes. And I just play. Yeah. I wasn't extremely poor or anything, but I've never had a great, great instrument. You know, expensive one. So I just kind of, like I said, I went with what I had. And I played D'Addario Phosphor Bronze on those, but I just got hip to the clear tones, which I'm going to start buying because, yeah, it saves money. And it sounds a lot better as far as acoustic goes. As far as electric goes, I do the Pure Blues.
Yeah. Were you...
10-gauge.
And you're getting the sounds going more towards electric, right? The new stuff with the band?
I really go back and forth.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't like... you know, I don't really like to say I do either. You know, it's more of just whatever I wake up feeling like. Sure. You know, I'm learning piano right now from a buddy out there. Shout out to Dave, the Dab King. But, So I might start playing piano, you know.
However, make sweet, sweet love to a certain American telly.
Yeah.
In this loft.
Anybody who hands me their guitar just has to sit there and, you know, watch me rape it, but... Yeah,
I think it was willing. It sounded pretty willing.
Right. Throw my guitar over.
My God! Just... Yeah, his guitar. You know,
he did rape that one. He straight raped that one.
It's what I do. I actually went
to 1930s body is feeling a little loose. Right now.
When I see it, man, it's like, man, it's right up my alley. I'm a big Delta Blues fan, so.
Oh, yeah, I love that guitar.
And I can't help myself. But it's funny story is I was in L.A. at the Guitar Center there, and they have, you know, thousands upon thousand-dollar guitars dating back from, you know, same thing, early 1900s, even before that. And they let people touch them, you know? So I was going around just picking up anyone I wanted. Who cares if it's $10,000? And I'm just shredding away. And this old guy, after a while, looks at me and he's just like...
What's your credit card limit, dude?
All right. Just kind of looking at me like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably... I'm going to leave. I'm sorry. I'm in my zone, you know. But, hey, it comes along with the...
I always wanted to know what I'd sound like in the 30s, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, shoot, you put me, somebody who, like I said, I haven't had really great instruments, in a room with that many crazy, you know, instruments throughout the last 100 years. It's, of course, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Of course. There's no holding me back. Time didn't exist.
Yeah. Ben asked, when will I get that $20 you owe me?
I don't owe you $20, man. I paid you off, bro.
Everybody's trying to cash in on this.
Moved to Portland like a big star. Yeah. Everybody's like, ooh, he owes me money.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's coming back.
Owe me $20.
Everybody coming back now.
Yeah.
Where's my guitar, Ben? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, Ben.
Ooh, Ben.
He's holding my guitar hostage. So.
Shots fired, Ben.
Yeah. Question to you. Put that ball in your field.
Well, I have $20 for that guitar. Sure.
My guitar's a lot more than that.
Well, I guess we'll wrap this bad boy up. It's been a lot of fun, guys. Thanks. Thanks to you all for hanging out.
Thank you for coming out, man.
It's always
kind of a last minute thing, but we made it work.
Yeah, we can always.
This is a nice surprise.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah. February 20th, Saturday night. Come over to brand new Boxing Turtle Saloon in Belleville, Illinois.
Dutch Hollow Road. There will be event page on Facebook and flyers and all that for all you guys who follow me. If you don't follow me, go to my Facebook. It's Facebook / Monkus. That's MONKHUS. Or just go on Google and type Monk, MONKH, and I'm sure you'll find something.
Yeah. Yeah. Pick up Headlines EP. Check out the low on the NPR Tiny Desk submission?
Yeah, you can go to my YouTube site, which is youtube.com/monkmusic.
Yeah, and while you're there, go ahead and subscribe to Loft Sessions.
Yeah, Media Outlaws TV. You know, shoot on over, see Monk on.
Yeah.
And Media Outlaws TV and the Cara Louise Band, for that matter.
And about 100 others.
Yeah, we're next week. Yeah, River Kittens this week, and we crack 100 next week with the Jeremiah Johnson Band, so stay tuned for that.
I love those guys, man. I love Jeremiah. Yeah. He's a good dude and a great player.
I'll give you a preview before you leave. I'll let you hear the audio before it's on.
That sounds sexy.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I'm not give you a preview.
Don't even have to sell that.
I'll link it to you for the outro if you'd like.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Subscribe.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Listen. Hey, this is Monk.
This is Nick, Cara Louise Band.
And this is Matt with the Loft Sessions.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
You were supposed to say, and I'm Shane.
But everybody knows I'm Shane.
But they didn't know then.
Because I'm the host.
My name is Monk.
Should we try it one more time?
Sure.
All right, do it again, Monk.
Take two.
Sounds called Everyone is Everyone.
I can't record with a drip.
Sounds like someone's peeing in the background.
I was just going to say that. I don't know.
Yeah, man. It's Nick in the background pissing.
Pissing and shit.
Oh, God.
No, I mean, once he was playing, I thought you meant if I could hear him. But no, I was. Once he started playing, I couldn't really hear the.
It was throwing me off, though. Yeah. Like, he was peeing. It made me want to.
Sure.
All right.
We get to go whenever again?
Yeah.
Oh, it's still going.
I guess we'll wait for that to finish.